Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you.
Yep. Always awesome here on Sunday nights.
Yes, it is.
So I hope you all got your Bibles ready, and we're going to get right into some, heavy-duty stuff.
Ooh.
We're going to get into one of the ongoing controversies in Christianity, especially in certain branches of Christianity.
There can't be too many of those. Which one is it?
Which can best be defined as law versus grace.
Law versus grace.
Law versus grace.
What a concept.
Yes. And, you know, there are, as many of you know, or probably know, there are extremes on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
There's one side that says this is what you have to do, and you have to do this exactly right, and you have to stand in the same right place to say the prayer, and you have to follow these rules exactly. Then there's the opposite side that says, hey, you know, it's all grace. whatever you do,
everything's going to
be good. Yeah.
Now, is that the same as the person that always sits in the same pew every week? Or is that something different?
Hey, wait a minute. I always sit in the same pew.
Uh-oh, I didn't mean to. Cards and letters to Phil.
No, I'm not a legalist, though.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, and so this is an ongoing thing because, after all, the Old Testament, the Tanakh, is a book about law. The first five books, the books of Moses, the Torah, the Pentateuch, are the books of the law. And then we have Jesus the Messiah, and then we have the new covenant of grace. Mm-hmm. And so as Christians, we can convince ourselves that, well, everything that came in the Old Testament now is done away with, and that's okay, and that was nice. It's nice to learn about it, but who cares? Because after all, the Bible starts at Matthew 1:1. But actually, the Bible starts in Genesis 1:1.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, and the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is the inspired word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's true scripture. And it isn't just there so we could say, we don't have to worry about that stuff anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned the new covenant of grace. And I think we need to look at, what does that mean, the new covenant of grace?
Mm-hmm.
Does God give someone license to sin?
No.
Certainly not.
No.
I think there's in Sirach, or no, not Sirach. Is it Sirach? I think it is. There's that, and I think we read that scripture reading a couple weeks ago, that is set before man.
Mm-hmm.
Fire and water,
mm-hmm.
light and darkness, you know, good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
But, and to whichever one he chooses will be given to him, but God gives no one license to sin.
That's right.
No one.
And Paul talks about that in Romans, I think it's chapter 2, where he talks about where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And so does that mean
we should sin more, sin so and grace abounds more
and do whatever?
Certainly
and
not.
And he says, certainly not. He says, God forbid. Because that's, you know, you may come across a preacher once in a while that takes that to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can come across preachers who take law to the extreme in terms of here's what you have to do and here's the order you have to do it in. Otherwise, all that you're doing doesn't count or doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And so this is very difficult. This has been going on. The debate about this, not that it's a debate, but what to emphasize has been going on for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has.
And obviously, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk
so
about.
So we're going to keep it going, right?
Yes, that's right. We're going to keep it going. Well, I'm going to put my 2 cents worth in. And we're going to read from the book of Matthew. And we read this last week, but we ran down to heaven about 5 minutes to discuss, law and grace,
yes.
Which didn't really do it much justice.
No.
We barely got the scripture read in 5 minutes, but,
not even the Cliff Note version could.
Yeah.
Do that.
So maybe what we'll do, Steve, is have you start by reading Matthew 5:17-37. And then we can talk about it and bring some other stuff in.
Okay. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is lawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one.
Oof. That's quite a long, involved statement.
Yes, that is a
And
long...
you see, all these things he's talking about, of course, are things that the Pharisees and the scribes knew very well. Mm-hmm. It's all the things that the people living then knew very well. So we can start by saying, you know, his first line is, don't think I've come to abolish the law. I haven't come to abolish it. I come to fulfill it.
Or any of the prophets, right?
Right. So he promotes the importance of the Old Testament.
Right.
He talks about, I'm not here to abolish the law. I'm not here to say, oh, those prophets were okay. And, you know, major prophets, minor prophets, they were okay for a while, but don't worry about them anymore.
Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. He says he's not canceling any of that. He's showing the importance of the whole Tanakh because, like I just said, the Bible starts in Genesis 1:1, mm-hmm. which means that all of the scriptures in their entirety are God's word. They're a revelation from God. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit and various human authors. I don't know how many human authors there are, but I'm sure somebody out there knows the number. They all wrote these things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And starting with Moses writing the first five books and then going on through the rest of the scripture. And as these authors wrote down, they were actually writing God's revelation. So these things are important. It shows the power, the glory, the revelation of God, because we don't have any way to know God unless he reveals himself.
Right.
You know, no matter, right. You know, if you can't be like the Buddhists and sit under a tree and meditate and you're going to figure God out.
Right.
And you can't go out and sit on a mountain and say, okay, now I get this God thing. Now I got it. He has to reveal himself. So the law, which is his word, you know, we're going to talk some stuff about in the book of Romans because Paul's my favorite writer.
I've heard that before.
I think Romans might be my favorite book.
I think I've heard that before too.
Yeah. So, you know, since the law is from God, the law can't be destroyed.
Right. God can't abolish his own word.
That's right. He would be canceling out his own word. Just like people say, you know, just when you think about it, Adam and Eve ate an apple. Come on. You know, God needs to loosen up a little bit. Well, I made a big deal about this. You know, okay, so they disobeyed. Everybody disobeys. What's the big deal about eating an apple? Well, you know, it is a big deal because they ate that apple. Humanity was cursed. The earth was cursed. The universe was cursed. You know, we get old. Yeah, we get old. We get sick. We get diabetes. We get heart disease. We get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We go bald. All these things. You know, our bodies fail. Our minds fail. All these things are happening
right
because Adam and Eve ate the apple.
They couldn't uphold one.
Right. One task, rule.
One rule.
Yes.
Don't. That tree in the middle, don't eat of its fruit.
Yes.
Stay away from it. Don't even touch it.
Yes. And what people don't realize, and the world we live in today, this has really been lost on everyone, is that an all holy, all just God cannot overlook sin. He couldn't have said to Adam and Eve, oh, you know, you guys ate the apple. I told you not to. Okay. All right. Let's forget about the apple thing. Let's go on.
Yeah.
Okay, so Adam, did you give any other names to the animals today? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys planning to have children or what, you know, what are we doing here?
Right.
No. You know, the earth was cursed. Adam and Eve were cursed. We're still living under the curse. We still have Adam's sin nature. All of us do. And I'm sure those listening on the radio can all think of somebody they know who's a sinner. Mm-hmm. Including themselves. We carry that Adam sin nature around with us because they couldn't obey one rule.
Mm-hmm.
Because God in his holiness and his justice can't say, oh, just forget about that. There has to be a penalty paid for violating the law.
Right. You know, and if you come to understand the holiness of God and you come to know or be in the presence of God. And you know, Jesus wants to encounter us in such a way that our lives are radically transformed and that we will not be the same after that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we encounter the risen Lord in that way, our lives will be transformed and we can no longer justify or make excuses for our sin. For our habits of, you know, I can no longer make excuses for, well, you know, Lord, I've done this all my life and I just can't let go of it.
I'm just used to doing it.
No, because God's created me to be his disciple for his glory and for his purpose.
Exactly right.
And if my life is going to reflect what God created me to be, then I have to stand in the presence of God and acknowledge that God is the creator. I'm the creature. He is holy. I am not. And where do I stand before him in the light of that?
That's right. And that's the key to salvation.
And where God's grace comes in is, it's by the blood of the Lamb that Jesus says, not guilty.
That's right.
But it's only by the blood of the Lamb. It's not by anything that I do or anything that I say in trying to convince God that, oh, come on, God, I'm really a good person. God sees my heart. Before I even know it. So there's nothing that stands hidden before God. And I think one of the things in our culture that has really kind of glossed this over is political correctness. I will tell this person something that I really don't believe and mean, but I'm gonna be diplomatic with them.
I don't want to offend anybody.
And certainly there's a time where you do want to, you know, you want to bridle your tongue and not say something that you shouldn't say. But
I've learned that over the years.
But I've been told that before. But Jesus, you know, in the last part of this, Jesus says, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. But he goes back, and as I was reading this, I was thinking of something that I had heard about or learned a while back. Do not swear at all. Not by heaven, nor by earth, nor by Jerusalem. Because when you take an oath, when you go into court and you swear an oath, I swear to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. We are swearing on God's name that I will tell the truth.
Yes.
If I lie, I've just dishonored God's name.
Exactly. Yes.
But in our culture, we don't seem to think very much of that.
Well, yeah, you hear people saying, well, honest to God, this is what I did.
Yeah.
You hear little kids saying, well, honest to God is, you know, by saying honest to God, you're swearing an oath before him.
Yes.
In a flippant, vain way.
Whether you realize it or not, you're taking God's name.
Yes.
And you are swearing an oath.
That's right.
And if you don't uphold it in the righteousness that is due to God's
yes.
honor and glory.
Exactly.
You have defiled his name.
Exactly right.
And we don't understand that. And in the term of a covenant, you know, in the term of, or in the example of a covenant, we are there to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the laws that God put forth were to keep people in a right relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you broke one of the laws, you were out of relationship with him.
Right. Exactly. One law. To violate one is the same as violating them all.
Right.
This is why he uses that example of, you know, if you call your brother a fool,
right,
you deserve hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at him with lust, you already committed adultery.
Right.
If you grow angry with your brother, it's the same as murder.
Right.
I mean, all these things are violating the law. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, if you and I have an argument and I call you names and I go storming out of here and say I'm never going to talk to you again.
Wait until we're done with the show.
You know, yeah, we're not going to do it on the air. But, you know, the police aren't going to come and arrest me because I yelled at you. But
no.
If while we're arguing I shoot you, then the police are going to come.
That could be serious.
Right. And so Jesus says they're the same.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, killing somebody is not is much, much worse than yelling at him.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, both of these things violate God's law.
Exactly.
And he, you know, is using that as an example, like you were just indicating, is if we are trying to up it to keep the law, we have huge hurdles ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you call your brother Raka, which in Hebrew means you stupid idiot, you know, you deserve hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've probably done that 10 times already today, where you say, what's this moron doing? Or what's this? Look at this jerk.
Yeah.
And so technically, I am violating God's law by doing that.
Because
you're not supposed to call people names.
Right.
And he's saying, you know, I didn't come to destroy that. But like as you indicated, he's going to come to deliver us from that, which is why he says he's come to fulfill the law.
He's delivering us from the punishment. But in fulfilling the law, how is the law fulfilled? It's fulfilled by love.
Exactly.
You know, there's specifically one place, I think it's in Isaiah, where God is telling them, your sacrifices are deplorable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, you're doing all these things.
I don't want any more of your Holocaust.
I don't want your Holocaust.
I don't want your new moon feasts. Or
I desire mercy.
Yes.
Not sacrifice.
Right.
And in that, God is telling the people of Israel, be merciful to each other.
Mm. Well, it's the first break already. I just got through one sentence of my notes. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Beholding your beauty is all that I long for. To worship you, Jesus, is my soul's desire. For this very heart you have shaped for your pleasure. Purpose to lift your name high. Here in surrender, in pure adoration, I enter your courts with an offering of praise. I am your servant, come to bring you glory, as it's fit for the world.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Yeah, you know, when we were on the break, Steve pointed out we could do a show on each one of these verses. We could probably be here for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot. There's a lot.
You know, because the law can't be destroyed because it's from God, you know, we have to keep in mind that Jesus came to destroy sin and the devil. He came to destroy the evil. He came to save us from death. He came to save us from eternal spiritual death. He didn't come to abolish the law because the law and the prophets talked about him.
Right.
He told the Pharisees, you know, at one point, you search the scrolls for eternal life and you do well to do that, but the scrolls talk about me because it was about him. You know, Paul in the book of Romans writes, you know, the law is holy. It's not evil. And even when you look at Jesus's relationship to the law, as we've said, you know, a few shows ago at, you know, over Christmas and early January, I think, you know, he, Jesus, comes into the covenant. You know, the covenant of law, the Israelites, the Hebrews lived in the covenant of law. He came into that covenant. He subjected himself to that covenant. Mm-hmm. He's born under the law. He's born of a woman, born under the law, it says in Galatians 4.
That's on our website.
It's on our website.
Yeah.
And he followed the law. I mean, when you read the Gospels.
He was circumcised on the eighth day. Mary was
presented in the temple.
Right. Mary took the mikvah?
The mikvah. Exactly.
So they followed the law.
Yeah. And he followed the law. It's documented in the scriptures in many places that he kept the feasts, of course, the feast days of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that in Joseph and Mary's house was on Friday night as the sunset was approaching, and Mary was getting all the stuff ready for the Sabbath, and Joseph was getting all the stuff ready for the Sabbath, and young Jesus was there, and Mary would have had the candles ready and the all the ceremonial stuff, and she'd have lit the candles and said the prayer. And, you know, maybe just before the sun goes down, she's saying, okay, Yeshua, come on, it's time for the Sabbath. And he thought to himself, well, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath.
Okay, I'll do it anyway.
This is cool doing it here.
Okay.
You know, doing it from a human perspective.
Right.
And, you know, he subjected himself to that covenant.
Right.
He could
have
said to Mary and Joseph, you know, I'm the son of God, and the Sabbath is all about me anyway, so don't worry about the candles. You know, don't worry about doing this prayer. But no, he subjected himself to the covenant.
Right.
Because he was the substance, even though he was the substance of all those ceremonial laws, he still did the ceremonial laws.
Exactly.
With the exception of, excuse me, he wouldn't have taken a lamb to the temple to atone for
sin. Right.
And I often wonder, did anyone ever ask him, how come you never take a lamb to the temple? But Scripture doesn't tell us that. But, you know, he subjected himself to the covenant, which means the law is important. You know, we're going to get into Romans and Galatians a little bit with some examples of that.
Well, I think, you know, if you substitute the word sin, or I don't want to say substitute the word sin for where you have the word law. Oh, I guess what I'm getting at is this. If you look at the law as not as, oh, it's something that was in the Old Testament and it should be, and it's done away with, and we don't have to follow that anymore. Since when don't you follow obeying God?
Yeah.
I guess that's what comes to my mind is if you profess to be a follower of Christ, because that's what the term Christian really means. It's not that I just believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I think that's something else that has gotten lost in our culture over the centuries. To be a Christian meant that you knew and understood that you shared in the anointing that came upon Jesus in the Jordan. You were a partaker in the covenant. You shared in the riches of his glory. Not just, well, I said the sinner's prayer and now my life belongs, you know, I'm a Christian and I haven't done anything with it.
Yeah.
Well, if you take that attitude, you're going to be like the person with the one talent who buried it in the ground. Because God demands a return on his investment.
Exactly.
You know, he's not a banker, but Jesus clearly spells out, to one was given five talents, to one was given two, and to one was given one. And the person who had one buried it in the ground because they were afraid.
Yeah.
And if we sit and don't do anything with the gifts or talents that God's given us, we sit and we bury them in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do, we don't use what God's given us to fulfill what he's created us for.
That's right.
And to bring purpose and to bring souls into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot in here. You know, there's a whole lot in here that needs to be talked about and mm-hmm. needs to be understood and not just brushed aside because, well, that's too hard.
Yeah.
Well, nothing about following Christ is easy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not for, you know, Jesus says, if, you know, if you go and build, you know, you try and build a temple or a tower.
A tower.
And, you know, you don't finish.
Mm-hmm.
You were ill prepared.
That's right.
People are going to laugh at you.
Laugh at you. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, we said, and, you know, we don't want to get people who are listening upset if you subscribe to this kind of philosophy, but this is the kind of thing that the prosperity preachers are taking people down wrong roads.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is nothing in the scripture that says once you come to Christ, you're going to be rich, you're going to have a nice house, you're going to have a great job, you're going to have a nice car, everything's going to go well. Right. You may lose your job, you may not have any food, you may be persecuted, you may be arrested, mm-hmm. you may be martyred, you right. know, you all kind of, because right. that's what, when you look at the history of Christianity, this is what's happened to many of the followers.
Yes.
And when your life is going really terrifically well, you have to wonder, something must be wrong.
But we're also really being blessed right now.
But the prosperity, and not that God doesn't bless you with things like that.
Exactly.
Certainly he does. But when that becomes the focus of the Sunday worship, when that becomes the focus of the Bible study, right. then that's a problem.
How do I get a new car? How do I get a better house?
That's right.
Yeah, that becomes a big right. issue, because those items mm-hmm. will creep in and move God out of the first place.
Exactly right. And they become idols.
And they become idols.
Like Jesus, you know, he says, Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may, you know, he said to Peter, I think we did a show about it. He said to Peter, you know, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go and you've been doing what you want to do. But now people are going to tie up your hands. They're going to take you in chains to places you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take you places they might kill you,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing this for me.
Right.
Not because you don't say, well, I don't want to go there, because I think if I come to Jesus, God's going to bless me and I'm going to have a great life right here. Why should I go over there in chains?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Peter was supposed to go there in chains.
Right.
Paul was supposed to be stoned and shipwrecked and thrown out of the synagogue and, you know, eventually beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul wasn't there preaching the prosperity gospel. Peter wasn't there preaching the prosperity gospel. Paul says he was blessed to share in the sufferings of Christ.
Right. And when they were, you know, when they were brought before the Sanhedrin and they were beaten because they were proclaiming the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they told them, we forbid you to speak in that name anymore.
Yeah.
They left rejoicing because they were found worthy to be they were worthy to be, you know, beaten for the glory of God's name.
Yeah. And, you know, and he has the substance of the ceremonial law is, you know, we talk about this from the book of Hebrews all the time. The laws were types and shadows. You see it in the sacrifices. You mm-hmm. see it in the feasts.
Right.
You see it in the way that the tent and then the temple were set up. All these things were prefiguring Christ. These were types and shadows. He's the substance. But the other thing they have to keep in mind in all this, and probably the best example is the Passover Seder, because mm-hmm. as time went on, there were a lot of traditions that were added
right.
to the law that became sort of law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, you go to a Passover dinner, you read the account of the Exodus, of Passover in the Exodus, book of Exodus, and you see you've got lamb, you've got unleavened bread, and that's what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at a modern Seder, you got a place for Elijah, you got an egg, you know, you got a bone, you got a green mm-hmm. vegetable. I mean, none of this is in the Passover.
Right.
But as time went on, these traditions were added, and Jesus is talking about the law that's given to Moses. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees are talking about the law plus a lot of this other stuff, because they tended to emphasize the traditions as well as the true law.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is talking about the true covenant, which is in the Torah, the Pentateuch.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always conflict.
Right.
And he said the law's not going to pass away.
Right. And thus, you know, when Jesus tells the Pharisees, you know, you heap burdens upon people,
yes.
but you don't lift a finger to help them. That's what he's taught. You know, I believe that's what he's referring to, is that you guys added all this other stuff.
That's right. Added all this other stuff.
That really weighed down the people.
Yes.
And you're not doing anything to help them.
That's right. And they, when you add so many things, you divert people away from what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And, you know, he says the law's not going to pass away. And he talks with some good authority on this, because he's the eternal God who gave the law. You know, he's not only the eternal high priest, you know, in New Testament terms, like the book of Hebrews describes.
Right.
Not only is he the eternal high priest, but he's the everlasting God who gave the law in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's... You know, his word can't be in vain. His word cannot be, you know, well, now it's not relevant anymore. You know, he says every small part of it, you know, the old terms jot and tittle. And, you know, what he's talking about is in the Hebrew alphabet, there's little marks that go on some of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And they stand for vowels, because Hebrew doesn't have any vowels, so you can pronounce things different ways. But there's little marks.
Mm-hmm.
So he said even the little marks are important.
Yeah.
Every bit of it is. Every word in the scripture is important. Every word in the law. None of it's unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the law. He was on Sinai giving the law to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Shekinah glory that the people took around. You know, he was the one that spoke with Moses, and Moses' face glowed.
Right.
And, you know, God says, I speak to Moses like you speak to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never speak to any man again like I speak to Moses.
Right.
Jesus is there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's well acquainted with the law, because he gave the law.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as Paul's going to point out, we're going to get to probably, you know, who knows, today, tomorrow, next week, or the following week, or, the law was your measure of righteousness.
Yes.
So if your righteousness is measured by how well you do with the law, every part of the law is important. This is why pre-Paul Saul, Rabbi Shaul, you know, the Pharisee, said no one was more zealous for the law than I was, including the head, the high priest, whatever rabbi or priest you bring here, I was more zealous than they were. I was looking at every little mark. And I was doing it.
Mm.
Every mark.
Everything. Yeah. And, you know, and I think really we've talked about the first paragraph here, verse 17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. If we move to verse 18.
Yeah.
Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of the letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so would be called least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, now those are Jesus's words.
Mm-hmm.
In every translation, they're essentially the same.
Yes.
Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, if you're interpreting scripture, and you're reading this, you know, how can you get something different from what Jesus, the Son of God, is telling us?
That's right.
So, but he goes on to say, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, to try and get our mind around this. Think about what you just said. Rabbi Saul, Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is saying, I was zealous, more zealous than anybody else for the law.
Yeah.
The smallest letter, the smallest part that Jesus is talking about here.
Yeah.
I was on it. If Jesus is saying, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be more zealous than Saul?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You had to be more righteous than Saul?
Exactly. Exactly. And this, and you know, this, the, this was what he was using as his point. You know, the Pharisees were the set apart one.
Mm-hmm.
They were the parashima, means we set apart from everybody.
Right.
We're going to follow the law. Those poor schmucks over there, they're not following the law.
Yeah.
Those losers over there, they're not. This is why Jesus uses the example in the temple where the Pharisee says, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that guy.
Exactly.
I do all the things exactly like I'm supposed to. That guy's a loser. I'm the one who's with it here. I'm watching every little mark of the law, and here I am. And if somebody gives me, you know, an ounce of some spice, I give a tenth of that back into the temple. I mean, I'm doing everything perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if there's a law that says you use 200 cc's of water to wash your hands before you eat, I use 200 cc's, not 201, mm-hmm. not 199, 200.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, who knows what he's doing?
Yeah.
Why is he even in here?
And then
but he's saying, have mercy on me, a sinner.
And yeah, Jesus says, that guy saying, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah.
And who left justified?
Yeah, that's right.
The one who asked God for
mercy. That's right. That's right. And, you know, but the Pharisees were seen as the most righteous people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you went to Jerusalem and said, okay, who's the most righteous people in Jerusalem? They said, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they made everybody know that they were the righteous ones.
Right.
By the way they dressed, by the way they act.
Phylacteries.
Phylacteries, the tefillin, bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you had to wear, you know, from Deuteronomy 4, you had the little, or Deuteronomy 6 rather, you had the little thing you were supposed to wear on your right. forehead and on your right. wrists, right. on your hands, the tefillin, we call it the phylactery from the Greek, but they decided they would make theirs like really big.
Mm-hmm.
So when you saw one of them coming, you said, whoa.
There's one of those really holy guys.
That guy's, look at, he's got that big thing. I just got this little dopey thing. He's got like this big thing that's like 2 feet high.
Yeah.
He's got to be way holier than I am. And they made sure that everybody knew that they were holy. They were set apart. And people, the set apartness was different than we call, you know, holiness, you know, as being set apart.
Mm-hmm.
They set themselves apart because they knew, they thought they were doing the holy thing. They were doing the law. The other people weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were the most righteous because they were doing the law the best.
Right.
And the standard of righteousness was the law. So it followed that they were the most righteous. The regular people couldn't do that. Now, if you would have asked a local person sitting around at the bottom of the Temple Mount at the Starbucks or the Denny's, you know, can you be holier and more righteous than the Pharisees? They would have said, of course not. But Jesus says, your righteousness has to surpass them.
Yeah.
Now, this was an unheard of concept because the common people couldn't be more righteous than the Pharisees. But Jesus says, you have to be more holy, more righteous than they are. You know, they were concerned about the letter of the law and how things looked. I mean, you know, if you read Matthew 23, whew, you know, Jesus just really, I mean, it's a whole chapter condemning the Pharisees and how they behaved and how they acted. And you know, we could do a whole show on that someday. Mm. I mean, it's basically a whole chapter of condemnation. But they were concerned about how things looked from the outside. Jesus is referring to interior holiness, holiness on the inside. You know, they were accepted and approved by men because of the way they looked and the things that they said. Whereas the guy who was beating his breast and not even looking up saying, have mercy on me, a sinner, he was trying to be accepted and approved by God, not by the holy Pharisee who was standing there. Oh, it's another break already.
Wow.
I'm just getting on a roll.
Wow.
Woo! Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. Ooh, this is an awesome song.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a minute.
I wanna be close, close to your side, where heaven is real. And death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on Word 1220. Now, that's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
Whew.
Who sings that? Is that Paul?
No. Well, he's in a little bit of it.
I hear him.
It's his daughter-in-law, Sharon. I always forget who the guy is.
Yeah.
But Paul's in there, too.
Paul's in there, too.
Yeah.
But it's on Paul's CD.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of that CD? Your Great Name? Your Great Name.
No.
Yeah, isn't your great name.
Isn't that on Desert Rain?
No, it's your great name. That's a CD. Go to Wilbur Ministries and order one of everything.
Go to WilburMinistries.com.
Order everything.
He's doing a tour to Israel. I wish I could go with him. But
if you use the word Phil and Steve, you won't get a discount. But you can still buy everything.
There'll be 3 cents off on each CD. But anyway, back to these Pharisees. But you know, these Pharisees are always all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, you read through the Gospels, every place Jesus is saying something, there's always like some pesky Pharisee that pipes up.
he was really hard on the Pharisees.
Yes.
Really hard on the Pharisees.
Very hard.
But I think for good reason, because, you know, as we were talking during the break, one of the examples that we see is in the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. where Jesus tells the parable of, there's two priests that are walking down the road. They see somebody, you know, that's been beaten, left for dead.
Yeah.
And they walk to the other side of the road so that they're not defiled.
That's right.
And yet here comes a Samaritan, whereas if we think about the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan, mm-hmm. and the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans because mm-hmm. they were considered unclean. And Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. But he uses the example of the Samaritan who comes along, takes care of the person who is beaten, places them in an inn, gives mm-hmm. the innkeeper money to take care of them, and says, we know when I return, if I owe you anything else, I'll make good on it when I return.
Yeah.
So it, you know, the law was important,
mm-hmm.
but you upheld the law by fulfilling it through love.
Exactly.
And this is what they missed.
Right.
This is what they missed. You know, I don't want to say big time.
No, big time.
But big time.
They knew the letter of the law, but not the heart of the law.
Not the heart of the law. And this is what Jesus is getting at. If you listen to the parables and you listen to Jesus talk to the Pharisees about, just through all of his conversations with them, the one thing that's pretty constant is, you did this, but you didn't love. You did this, but you didn't show mercy. You mm-hmm. did this, mm-hmm. but you showed nobody.
Yeah.
That God is love.
Right.
You're missing the point that God is all these things, but God is also love and mercy.
Yes.
And in order for somebody to see the full revelation of God, we have to see God's love and mercy as well as God's righteousness.
That's right.
As well as God's holiness.
Right.
Because if we don't, then we have a lopsided understanding and a lopsided view of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lopsided view of who God is, then you get into all these different tangents of, well, I should do this, I shouldn't do this, well, maybe I could do this, well, maybe I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, well, no, God gives no one license to sin,
mm-hmm.
but God does demand that we act with mercy to others.
Yes.
You know, we're to be righteous, but we're also to be merciful.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it is a, it seems like a fine line sometimes. It seems like a hard road to walk sometime. You know, we got to uphold the laws of God,
mm-hmm.
but then we have to be merciful to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So do we tell them about the laws of God and then, or do we just say, oh, go ahead, do what you're doing? Telling them to go and do what they're doing is not being merciful.
No.
That's being foolish.
No.
We're to...
And being afraid to offend them may lead them to spend eternity in hell because you didn't impact them at a time that you were supposed to.
And so we really have to understand that speaking the truth to someone in a manner that isn't with condemnation
mm-hmm. yes.
is what we're supposed to do.
That's right. It's supposed to be with gentleness and respect,
right.
It says in 1 Peter 3:15.
Right.
You know, if you beat people over the head with the Bible, you know, I was just talking to Pastor Al before we started the show, mm-hmm. you know, Pastor Al from this station, but you know, we were talking about, when someone has no idea what the Bible is, has no idea what we're talking about, and you start quoting them scripture verses, that's not the way that you start reaching them. Because it doesn't mean anything to them.
Right. Right. Well, it's not where they're in it. And think about it. God always meets you where you're at.
Right.
You know, when I was coming back to the Lord, it was two guys in an office telling me about the love of Jesus.
Mm.
It wasn't, have you gone to church lately, Steve? No. Well, you know, you're a sinner. You're gonna
Yeah.
Spend eternity in hell, you know, in hellfire for that.
Yeah.
It wasn't any of that. It was, they shared the love of the Lord with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I needed to hear at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
And certainly everybody needs it, and everybody's in a different spot.
Right.
But not sharing the truth with them.
Yeah.
And saying, well, if I don't want to say anything because I don't want to upset them. And maybe later I'll say something to them.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yeah, exactly. People have to know where they stand.
Right.
You know, the Pharisees and the scribes were very proud of how well they did with the law.
And
how well they kept the tradition.
Yes.
So, you know, when the Pharisees said, tonight the Sabbath starts at 7:02 p.m., at 7:01 and 59 seconds, they were ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're right on that, every little thing. But, you know, we realize, when you realize what you are, that you're a sinner and that you're defective and that you have this nature, you realize you're an unprofitable servant. Mm-hmm. And you have to trust in the righteousness of Christ. Wow, the show's over already.
I know.
I got more notes. Uh-oh, I think this is going to be more than
save them for next
one more
week.
Show. Woo! Well, anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would pray that the love and mercy of God would just fill your heart, your mind, and your soul, and that you would just be embraced by that love of God. Have an awesome week, everyone. God bless.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.